And I can remember growing up in Tioga County and getting married and working the farm, and really my whole world was kind of in one like 15-mile area. So really my whole world was there. That for the most part, my grandmother and my grandfather, my maternal grandmother and grandfather, they lived over in the New York State, and we did go there. My grandmother weren't together, so they were two different homes, and mostly my grandmother, we would go visit her pretty much on a regular basis. But other than that, it really happened within this really small area of life. I grew up and was married and just really lived life within this really, from one end to my circle to the other was like 10 miles. And then grew up with my siblings and cousins and just the family was there in the rural parts of Tioga County. And then I can remember my brother, when he was married, he moved to a town in Barton, New York. He moved to Barton, New York, and it was really like the first time I can really remember. And I was a grown guy too, and I was married, and I can remember for the first time going to Barton, New York. Now again, it was an hour and 15 minutes away. It was like the other end of the earth for me. It truly was an hour and 15 minutes. If you're going to spend an hour and 15 minutes behind the steering wheel, you better have the field ready to be planted. That was my, that's back and forth. And I spent an hour and 15 minutes behind the steering wheel, but it was back and forth across the same field, either planting it or baling it or getting it ready for planting. But an hour and 15 minutes away was Barton, New York, and we didn't have any GPS. You remember back in the day, you could go to AAA and you could like get the trip tickets. You flip it. Everybody like under 20 thinks I'm a real doof. But that's happened, and they even spiral bound them for you, didn't they? So you could flip them over. You could see where you were going. Cheryl is like an atlas queen, so she always had the atlas out there. She knew where we were going for the most part. We've always said, for the most part, yeah, Cheryl was the navigator. I was like the kamikaze, okay? You just tell me, honey, I'll get there. And we were going down into D.C. one time, and she said, you just missed the turn. I parked right along the side of the highway, and I backed right up the side of the highway. I said, I don't know how to get back to this turn, but I know how to go backwards. Back right up the four-lane highway and went off the exit. I'm the kamikaze. I can get there. You just tell me how to get there. I got great stupidity or courage, one or the other. But to go to Barton, New York to find out and to go to visit my family, and my brother had moved there and his family, and my aunt and uncle were living there, and I had cousins there, so we were going to go to Barton, New York. Well, we had to leave Little Marsh to go to Barton, New York. So in an hour and 15 minutes in a 1975 Ford Granada. Rear wheel drive. Back in the day, they were all rear wheel drive for the most part. And so here we go. We're going to head out for this monumental moment trip. Probably at that time was the longest trip that we'd ever made as a married couple. 1 hour and 15 minutes. So here we go. I know it sounds funny now. Hour and 15 minutes, I would drive there maybe to have lunch with somebody. But this was a big deal for us. And so we left Little Marsh. You can push the button. We left Little Marsh and we drove to Middlebury Center. And then we drove to Tioga. And then we drove to Millerton up 328. And once you get from Millerton, once 328 all of a sudden goes from Pennsylvania to New York State, now you're in Pine City. Just the outskirts of Pine City. Pine City is like, you just missed it, okay? So but you didn't really drive through. It's kind of like the Lloydsburg, roundabout there. Yeah, right? So it's the same type of deal. So Pine City was, and then Southport. Of all the trip, I hated Southport the most because Southport was driving through the city. There was at least four or five red lights on the same road in Southport. I mean, what am I gonna do? I don't have the drag behind me. I don't have the old case tractor. I don't know what to do here. There's four red lights on the same road. And I know I'm 20 years old or whatever. But I'm driving through Southport, which is a part. It's 6,500 people in Southport. 6,500. I mean, that's like city. And it gets even worse. It's part of Elmira, New York, which is 27,000 additional people. We're talking like 30,000 people. I'm driving through a city of 30,000 people. It was very nerve-wracking for me. I didn't have no GPS. Turn right at the next light. It didn't tell me that. I'm trying to get to Barton, New York. 6,500 people, 26,000 people. You know, and we think that's funny, but that's almost half of Altoona. And I was driving through this city. Well, you just so you know, there's 50,000 people in Altoona, and that covers 10 square miles. There's 40,000 people in Tioga County, and that covers 1,100 square miles. Okay, so 30,000 people is a lot of people for peace, or somebody who grew up in a 10-mile radius that knew everybody that lived in that 10-mile radius. Then we would go through Southport into Wellsburg and the Lauman crossover and the Chemung and Waverly and finally arrive in Barton, New York. Only to regret the drive back home by the time you got there. Like, I got to navigate this back home now. And we would make sure we could stay overnight at least because it was an hour and 15 minutes away. So we were trying to schedule we could stay overnight. So the next day or the following day, we finally started on our way home and back through. And we come back through all through that. I got through the edge of Elmira, and I got through Southport again. And I'm headed toward Pine City. And it was coldish. It was like winter. And the ground was covered with snow. But the weather was fairly good. And the sun was out, and down 328 between Southport and Pine City, and then you're going to go on into Millerton, Pennsylvania. Down that stretch of road, it's a four-lane highway. At least there's two lanes going one way. I don't know if it's really considered a four-lane, but at least there's passing lane, or there's dual lanes to go different ways if you want to. It's a 55-mile-an-hour road, so I'm not getting any grass grow under my feet, and we're going down at least 55 miles an hour down this road. It's a pretty nice day, and the weather is pretty good, but there's snow on the ground, and the sun is kind of out. And as you go down this road, you kind of go through this section of woods. It's only 200 or 300 yards long, but it's this section of woods that you drive through. Well, just so you know, the road conditions can be different out in the sun than it can be inside the woods. And so we're tooling down the road at about 55, 60 miles an hour. And the road is not straight, but it's not real windy or curvy, but it's gently curving out through there. Just as you get into that set of woods, right on the beginning of that set of woods. When I went into those woods, there was black ice for the next 200 yards. And I turned, and just as I went into the woods, I turned, and all of a sudden, the car started to float down the road. All of a sudden, we're going sideways at 55 mile an hour down the road. I'm looking out the side window now down the road. And I'm thinking, this is not a good situation. I don't know how long the black ice is going to last, right? I don't know what condition I'm going to be in. I'm sliding by other vehicles that are in the ditch. There's a guy out next to the road. I thought I was going to hit him. I'm sliding down the road at 55 mile an hour, almost sideways going down the road. And all of a sudden, the car begins to drift back the other way. I'm looking out the windshield back down the road the way I want to go. I was almost looking the other way one time, but now I'm looking down the way, and it's looking down the road. And I come out of those woods looking down the road, hit dry ground, and went right home like I'd never even hit anything. I've learned in life that that's the way life can be sometimes. I've learned in life that when I'm trying to do something, even maybe go to a new location, or I'm trying to do something courageous, or I'm trying to just really step out there, or I'm trying to do something, or I'm trying to make advancements in my life, or I'm really pushing my comfort zone here, and all of a sudden, there's black ice on my road. Am I making sense this morning? And all of a sudden, all in the vehicle, in myself, as I'm navigating through life, all of a sudden, now I feel myself sideways down the road. And I don't know, God, what are you doing in my life? I wanted to walk with you. I wanted to risk it. I wanted to go to the new heights with you. I wanted to take another step with you. I wanted to go through the cities. I want to go through those things that are not comfortable in my life. And all of a sudden, I find myself going sideways down the road, God. There's ice on the road. And I've learned in my life that the same way, when I'm walking with God, the same way that God does not remove the icy spots from the road. He just does not. And you find yourself all of a sudden slipping down the road. And I've entitled this message, Somewhere Between Anti-Skid and Slippy, which is a new word for me since I moved here. I didn't know slippy was even a word until I moved here, and then all of a sudden I find out that slippy is actually a word. I was like, what is wrong with those people? I said, the road is slippy. I said, what does that mean? But I've learned what that means. I've learned what that means. We call it slippery where I'm from, but you call it slippy, I'm good with that. But you understand that going through life, there is slippy or slippery spots along the road. You're going to face stuff that you don't know you're going to face. And God does not remove all those slippy spots from the road. He just does not. And you know that, and I know that. That you and I are going to face some very big challenges in life at times. But God's going to do some amazing things in our life. And he has given us some anti-skid. Look at in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says this. It uses words like this in verse 12. Don't be unsettled. Don't be alarmed. Don't be deceived. You know who he's talking to there? The church. He's talking to us. And they're navigating life. And all of a sudden, God knows they need to hear these words. Don't be unsettled. Don't be alarmed. Don't be deceived. And then he uses words like wickedness. And then he uses words like the secret power of lawlessness is already at work among us. You know what that means to me? There's a lot of things out there that could make us unsettled or alarmed or deceive us or invite us into some sort of wickedness, or there's evil in this world. They're the slippery spots of this world. And God says, I am not taking all the slippery spots out of this world, but I'm going to do something more for you than you can ever imagine. I'm going to give you some anti-skid that when you go through life and you're trying new things and you're walking it out with me and you're going to take the next step with me and we're going to go together and you're going to make a difference and you're going to be the light of the world and you're going to be my hands and my feet in this world and you're going to be thriving in Christ and you're going to rejoice in Christ. I got some things that are going to keep you on the road. But I'm not going to remove all the slippery spots. And there are going to be things, listen, New Lifers, there are going to be things that are going to be unsettling to us. Listen, I can't do a funeral yesterday of a 33-year-old New Lifer and not think that there's not things in this world that are unsettling. There are things that are going to be unsettling. There are things that are going to be alarming to you in this world. And there are going to be things that are deceived. Going to try to deceive you, and wickedness is going to come up against you. You're going to experience some very slippy spots in this world. Life is littered with slippery spots or slippy spots. God does not remove the icy spots, but he does equip us with some high quality anti-skid. I love this roll of anti-skid that I got, this anti-skid tape. You know, I love the ad. I just love the ad. You see what the ad says there? For indoor or outdoor use. God says, I got you indoor and I got you outdoor. Look what else it says. I don't know if you can read that or not. Premium quality. Easy to install. I love that. Ultra strong adhesion. Pro grade. High durability. God says, I know that there's slippery spots in your life. And there are things that have got you alarmed. And there's things that you that are got you great concern. But you got to know, I've given you some anti-skid that is very durable. And even though I don't remove the ice in your life, I'm going to equip you with some anti-skid. And that's what he told the church of Thessalonica. And that's what I think he's telling us. That let me give you some sure foundation. Let me give you some footing this morning. Let me give you some stuff this morning where you can meet those things that alarm you, or meet those things that have you unsettled, or meet those things that might be trying to deceive you, or meet that wickedness or that sin or that temptation in your life. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you. Here's the flip side of that, he says. I know that there's things out there. I know that you're going to be alarmed. I know unsettled. I know deceived. I know there's wickedness. God, do you know how much wickedness is in this world? God says, yes, way more than you know. Do you know how much bad things? Yes, I got it. I know. It grieves my heart, but I am not taking my church off the slippery road. Because on the slippery road, there are other people that need us. And I can't have you spinning through life and all unsettled and all deceived and all jacked up, because I got you on that road for a purpose. Because there are people on that road that need you. And you need to have the anti-skid to keep you solid and to walk through those slippery parts of life. And he said, you got to know this. You got to know this, church. You've got to know this. But we ought to always thank God. Brothers loved by the Lord. Do you know this morning? You just need to know this morning. I know you're on the road and it's slippery, but you got to know that you are loved by God. Amen. If nothing else this morning, take this out with you. You are loved by God. You need to get that on the bottom of your shoes, perhaps. You are loved by God. No matter what else is going on in your life, you are loved by God. That is one of the anti-skids that he's given us, young lady. That's one of the anti-skids that he's given you. You are loved by God. I don't care what this world tries to do to you. I don't care what this world tries to speak into your heart. You got to know this morning, it's going to be slippery out there, but you got to know first and foremost that you're loved by God. And watch what that does for you. Watch what that foundation that'll give you. You are loved by God. And you've been through some slippery spots. And he said, you need to know first and foremost that when, no matter what slippery spots you hit on this world, that you are loved by me. Never forget that you are loved by me. And he goes on in that same verse and he says this. Flip the button. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any other power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all of creation will be able to ever separate you from the love of God. Ever. You will never be outside of the love of God. Nothing, no slippery spot will ever take you out of the presence of God. Continuing in verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you. He's chosen you. Not only are you loved by God, but he did the choosing. You are chosen by God. Now, I don't know if you made the football team. I don't know if you made the baseball team. I don't know if you made the cut. I don't know if you made the kickball team in third grade. But you have been chosen by God. Look what it says in John. Push the button. This is what it says. Yet to all who receive Jesus, to those who believe in the name of Jesus, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of the human decision or the husband's will, but God's choosing. You have been born. You are a child of God because God chose you. No one else chose you. You did not choose God. God chose you. God chose you. You. He chose you. You are chosen by God. Louisville, you are chosen by God. On the road of life, hitting the slippery spots, number one, remember that you are loved by God. And not only does God have a love that just loves you and it will never go away and nothing can ever separate you from that love, but inside of that love, He chose you. That same verse says this. But we always ought to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. He chose you to be saved, to be saved by God. You are saved by God. You know what that means, believer in Jesus Christ? That means that you have been freed and rescued from the unnavigable road called sin and the destination of hell. You've been freed from that road. Do you know that? Do you know that you're not? I don't know what else is going on. I don't know how slippery your road is, but you have been saved by God. God has pushed the button, please. God has done this. God, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You are on a road of freedom. Amen. You're not on the road of hell. You're not on the road stuck in sin. You have been freed from that road. You have been freed from that road, middle-aged man. And I'm not going to say it, but you've been freed from that road. You've been freed from the road. Not only are you loved by God and you are chosen by God, but now He's taken you off the road of sin and the unnavigable road of sin, and He's put you on something different because He's freed you. So, Lord, can you just remove all the slippery parts from my life? And God says, how about if I do the next thing better? How about if I give you the durability to navigate? How about if I just saturate your soul with how much I love you? If I just inundate you with how much I have chosen you? If I just overwhelm you about freeing you from the road of sin and destruction and just putting you on something different? See, my love is just not a love that just doesn't do anything. God says my love is a love that goes all the way to the nth degree. My love is the one that will step in and say, Joe, Ed, Joe, I choose you, man. And then I take you off of the road of destruction and I free you, because it is for freedom that I have set you free. It is for freedom that I have chose you. It's for freedom and why I love you. I want you to walk in freedom. Look at that verse back in 13 again. For you did not, verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. I chose you to be set apart. I chose you to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. I chose you to be set apart. And the Spirit is going to do mighty things in your life. But let me tell you one thing He's going to do. Push the button, please. He's going to do this. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. I did not sanctify you by the Spirit so that you could be a slave to fear. That you're concerned. I set you free. And fear is, you, when you hit an icy spot and fear takes over, you're going on your keister. AKA backside. He said, I did not give you the Holy Spirit so you could be a slave again to fear. Don't fear. There is no fear. No fear. Push it back. But you received the spirit of kinship, sonship, daughtership. And by him, the Holy Spirit, we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father. Because I chose you to be my daughter. I chose you to be my son. I didn't just choose you to be on the team. I chose you to be part of my family. And when the Spirit comes upon you, the first thing you're going to realize, the first thing that's going to stabilize you is you've got a dad in heaven who loves you. You've got a dad in heaven. And his Spirit, the Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when you're going through life and you hit a slippery spot, just let this anti-skid get under your feet. Now wait a minute! I am a son of the Most High God. Wait a minute. I am a daughter of the King. Wait a minute. Fear, you have no place in me. I am a child of God. And His Spirit is testifying with my spirit that I belong to Him. And I've been chosen by Him. I've been sanctified by Him. I have been loved by Him. And I am loved by Him. And nothing will separate me from Him. Life is slippery. But your God's got a divine anti-skid like you don't know about sometimes. Going on with verse 13 again, it says this. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. You know what God's doing right now in our hearts? Push the button. He's doing this. He's giving you divine ability to believe truth. You're getting it right now. You're getting it right now, Tyler. You're getting it right now. You're getting the divine ability. He said, I'm giving you a divine ability to believe truth. This seems crazy. This seems wild that I should believe this by God. This seems wild that He would love me. This seems wild that He would choose me. This seems wild that He would give me a dad in heaven. This seems out of my thinking. This is out of my grasp. He said, I know. That's why I'm giving you divine ability to believe truth. Because it is so big and so mighty, you're never going to believe it. That I could go to the cross and I could pay for your sins. And I love you, man. I love you so much. Even if you don't have the divine ability to believe truth, you're never going to grasp it. I've got to give you a divine ability to believe truth. Because you don't know how amazing you are. Ah. I'm just a hard-working individual. I'm just this and that and another thing. And maybe I got success and maybe I don't have success. You got the ability to believe because God's given you the ability to believe what He's doing in your life right now. Woo! What a mighty God we serve, that God would not only do all that, but now He's going to give you the ability to believe that He's doing all that in your life right now. But when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not, look at this verse says, you got to get this is not just a church thing, okay? He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Jesus talking, by taking what is Jesus's, by taking what is mine, and making it known to you. He's going to take what is Jesus's and He's going to pour it into you. And He's going to not only affect your head, He's going to make it known to you. That's an intimacy. That word is the intimate word. He's going to make it known to you. He's going to guide you in all truth. The divine ability to believe truth. Are you with me this morning? Look at verse 14. He says this. He called us to this through our gospel. What is the this? He called us to this. Let me just recap. Two-thirds of the way through the message, let me recap. He called you to be loved by Him. He called you to this through His gospel, through the good news, through the words of the Word of God. He called you to this. He called you to be loved by Him. He's called you to be chosen by Him. He called you to be saved by God. He called you to be sanctified by the Spirit. He called you to divine ability to believe truth. All through the gospel. What a package deal. We show up, I couldn't go yesterday, and I called a friend of mine. I said, can you please go to this house in Altoona? There's a guy that's not might not make it through the night, and just so you know, he didn't. And I said, I'm here, and somebody needs to hear about Jesus in that house. And my friend went to that house, and people came to Jesus, and the gospel was shared, and God's love was poured out on that family, and God's love was poured out on that lady, and God's love was poured out on her, His choosing, and he saved that lady, and He sanctified that lady, and He has given her the divine ability to believe truth. All last night. Amen. That's all wrapped up in the gospel. He called you to this. What are you called to? Well, sometimes I want to know my calling on life. God, what are you calling me to? What's my calling on life? But what was your first calling? I called you to this, to be loved by me, to be chosen by me, to be saved by me, to be sanctified by the Spirit, and to receive the divine ability to believe true. That's your calling. Now, He might give you another calling in addition to that. But that's your calling. Continuing in the passage. Back to 14. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the what? In the glory of who? Why did He do all that? Why did He do all that? Why did he love you? Why did He chose you? Why did He save you? Why did He sanctify you? Why did He give you the divine ability to believe truth? Because He wanted you and me to share in the glory of Jesus. Amen. You know what that means? On the road of Jesus. Not only are you not on the road to hell, but you're on the road called Jesus. Now those roads might interlap on this world. And one day, they'll all end. I get that. But He's called us to share in the glory of Jesus, to be on the road called Jesus. You have been called to be on the road. You're not only called, you are there right now. Kelly, you are on the road called Jesus. I don't know how slippery that road is, but that road is called Jesus. I don't know what kind of challenge you might have throughout your weeks, but you're on the road called Jesus. And I don't know. I don't know all the things that's going on, young lady, but you're on a road called Jesus. Don't let this world convince you that you're on any other road. You, young lady, are on the road called Jesus. No matter how many challenges it is, no matter how challenging it is, new mom, you're on the road called Jesus. Verse 15 says this. So then, brothers and sisters in church, stand firm and hold to the teaching we pass on to you, whether by word or by mouth or by letter. By the word of mouth or by letter. Hang on to this truth. That's what he's saying. Hang on to this truth. Hang on this divine provision that's being poured into your life. Hang on, belly up to the table. Stand firm in this divine truth. Stand firm in that truth. Receive the divine provision that he has for you. Psalm 23:5 says this: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and he can't do a thing about it. Just so you know, and I've said this many times, that's not talking about heaven, because the enemy is not in heaven. That's talking about earth in our journey now. He said, I've given you divine provision, and I've given you the ability to grab onto it. I want you to have the provision that I'm giving you, and you've got the ability to grab onto it. You've got divine ability to grab a hold of truth. And he says, I want you to grab a hold of the truth, and I don't want you ever to let go of it. I don't care what season of life you're in. Grab a hold of truth, because he's not done feeding you. We had a lady here at Thanksgiving. This was her 95th Thanksgiving celebration. The first time she celebrated Thanksgiving was 1927, 16 presidents ago. And she bellied up to that Thanksgiving table, and she dined like a champ. Because she's not done eating Thanksgiving dinners. And God says, don't be done eating my dinners. Don't be done. I have more for you, and more and more and more and more for you than you can ever imagine. Get up to the table. You've been given the divine ability to receive the provision from God. Why? Because you're loved by him. Because you're chosen by him. Because you're sanctified by the Spirit. Because you're on the road called Jesus. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, whom loved us by his grace, gave us what? Eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every word and deed. Every deed and word. Internal encouragement, the unlimited support that inspires confidence and a will to continue. And good hope without defect and beneficial expectation. That's what he's given you. How did he give you that? Oh, one day. Listen. One day. All the black ice will be gone. One day, the road will be clear. One day, as Jesus told his disciples in John 14, one day, push the button, one day, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I certainly would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. One day, there's going to be no more black ice. But until that day, there's divine anti-skid. And he said, let that divine anti-skid give you eternal encouragement. Let it give you good hope. Let this, new lifers, push the button. Let this give you that you are loved by God. That you are chosen by God. That you are saved by God. That you are sanctified by the Spirit. He said, how much anti-skid do you want? I've got an endless supply of it. Because I've sanctified you by the Spirit. I have given you the divine ability to believe truth. I've given you a road called Jesus. I put you on that road. And I'm giving you the ability to receiving divine provision like you can't even imagine. Are you with me today, New Lifers? The slippy spots of life are not going away. But God's anti-skid is durable, good for indoor use and outdoor use. Are you with me this morning? I want that. I don't know about you, but there's more black ice than on the way home from Barton, New York. And God says, I'm going to put anti-skid on your feet, on your body, and you're going to navigate through all those things. Will you stand with me today? God, there is no doubt that sometimes there's a spot or two, and then other times there's miles of black ice. And Lord, I know there's those in this room that are probably more used to miles of black ice than just patches of bare road. And Lord, I want to ask that you would anoint with healing and anoint with strength and anoint with clarity. But Father, I want you to anoint us with the anti-skid today. That no matter what ice we're on, we'd even feel it right this very moment that you have stabilized us. Father, I asked someone yesterday how they're doing, and they said stable. New word for me coming from that person. What does that mean, God? Father, but I think it's a reality that you will stable us, not because our ground is easy to walk on, but because you got a hold of our feet. You're loving, choosing, sanctifying, divine giving power have got a hold of our feet. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are on the road called Jesus. Help us to belly up to that Thanksgiving table that are prepared before us in the presence of our enemy. And let's eat again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Can you turn that up just a little? Father, thank you for that amazing truth. New life? I'm just going to be compelled to ask. Anybody having a hard time receiving that today? Are you having a hard time receiving that you're loved by God and chosen by God? Are you having a hard time receiving that you're on the road called Jesus? Are you having a hard time receiving that you have been sanctified by the Spirit of God? Are you having a hard time receiving that you've been given divine ability to believe truth? Are you having a hard time believing this morning that you are up to the table that God has prepared before you? Is that you this morning? I'm not asking you to come forward, but I'm going to speak the name of Jesus over you. Would you just, if that's you this morning, would you just put your hand up as I speak the name of Jesus? Cupped my way. I want you to receive it this morning. Is that you this morning? Do you just want to put your hand up and say, that's me, and I'm just going to receive the name of Jesus? Just do it right now. If that's you this morning and you want to put your hand up. New life, I speak the name of Jesus over you. Catch it. Catch it. Absorb it. Believe it. It is Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.